So we're gonna finish off. We started with last week dealing with one chapter in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. And last week we mostly dealt with just the where did this start? Who said this tefillah, this Tehillim? And we discussed how there are different midrashim. The rabbis tell us that there are different sources for who was the first one to say this, or who did say this. We quoted one medrash which said that Yaakov said this. Yaakov, on his way out, trying to build a family, leaving his family, so he said this parak of Tehillim. And then we also saw a different medrash which says that David HaMelech, King David, said this when he was going out for the first time, not as a king, just as David, going out to fight Goliath, to fight Goliath. That's what we discussed last week. So this week I want to finish this chapter. We're going to go through each sentence, and we're going to try to analyze it and understand it. Some sentences have more to say than others, but we'll go through it, and then we're going to go on next week to a different chapter in Tehillim, which one says when somebody's sick or in a time of crisis. So let's go through each one. The first pasuk Aleph, the first pasuk. Shilamalos esa inay laharim me'ayin yavo ezrin. So it's a song for the ascents. I turn my eyes to the mountains. From where will I receive help? Where would I get help from? So we pointed this out last week. Shir Lamaalos. There are 15 Shir Hamaaloses in Tehillim. In Tehillim, we have 15 paragraphs where we say Shir Hamaalos. It's introduced as Shir Hamaalos. Of those 15, one of them is Shir Lamaalos, which is this one. It's not a song of the ascents. It's hamalos, it's lamalos, to the ascents. It's a lamed. And this is the only one of the 15. This is the only one. And so the basic explanation is that this is the first one. When was this said? This was said when there were 15 steps going up to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Holy Temple, and there are 15 Shir HaMaaloses. And so when the Levim, when they would go up the steps, for each step they would sing a different chapter in Tehillim, a different one. And so this is saying a song to the ascents. As we're going up, this was the first one. This was the very first one. And then they would, for the second step, they would do the next one and the next one. There's also another explanation which is given, which is that these are 15 steps that tzaddikim, the righteous, take after they die to reaching Hashem. That's what the Medrash says. It's to reach Hashem in his royal throne, in his Kisei HaKavod. So there are 15 steps. I would imagine that it's not literal, but there are 15 steps that you take to go up to Hashem. And there are 15 Shir HaMaaloses. So what's this number of 15? What is this concept of 15? The number 15 comes up a lot. What do you want to say?
No, so I was just wondering.
What's 15? There's also 15 steps. If you recall at the Seder, on Pesach night we have a Seder. There are also, if you count the numbers of Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, if you count it ends up being 15. There are 15 steps there. So I think that the number 15, which comes up in multiple places, if you see it elsewhere, it's a progression in your service to God. It's that you we're constantly moving up, or we should be moving up. And so the number 15 is about the steps that it takes to continuously move up to God. And that's why there are 15 steps walking up to the Holy Temple. We have those 15 steps because it's supposed to symbolize the fact that we're supposed to constantly be growing. And that's what the number 15 represents. And that's why there are 15 steps for the righteous person after they die to reach God. To go up to God, there are 15 steps. And also the whole purpose of the Seder night, of Pesach night, is to raise ourselves up over the course of the night to have a greater amount of belief in God. That's really the purpose. The point of Pesach is to have a belief in God, that God took us out of Egypt. And so those are 15 steps that as we go through the Haggadah, we have more and more emunah in Hashem, and then it ends off with praising God. The last step is to have that full emunah, that full belief, and finally we sing out in joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. So that's what the 15 steps
were. Could I just ask you, where could I find out about what those 15 steps in the Haggadah are specifically?
So if you open up any Haggadah, so I would imagine on one of the beginning pages, it'll list off what the order is. I'm sure there's a page that says like Kaddish, Urthat, Karpas. So those are
the 15.
Oh, okay, didn't realize.
Those, if you add that up, Kaddish, Urthat, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, it'll end up being 15.
Oh. Okay.
Is this done in 11 months? Let's say when a person is grieving after 11 months,
right,
he goes to Hashem. So that's not the same.
So that's the 11 months are really the time period of the cleansing process, of where the person has to suffer. That's really during those 11 months. That's the time of the cleansing till they ultimately reach a state of completion.
So what I understand, the suffering, the grieving, it's 11 months, but the body of the person that died reaches Hashem on 15 steps.
So 15 steps, that's it's independent of the 11 months. It's not connected.
Nothing to do with that.
No, no.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Esa Inai El Haharim, I raise my eyes up to the mountains. We pointed out that why isn't he raising his eyes up to Hashem? So either the mountains are representing Hashem, that just like it's to the heavens or it's to the mountains, it's something that's looking up. Or perhaps he really is not, at this stage, he's not looking at it. He's not looking towards Hashem. He's looking elsewhere. He wants to find help elsewhere. He's looking to the mountains. Perhaps it's a time of war where you look up to those on the mountains because those who are higher up have the advantage in a time of war. They could see down and they could attack. So I'm looking elsewhere. I'm not looking towards God. So Esa Einai El Haharim, also we pointed this out last time, that for Yaakov, the Medrash says that it's a play on words. Haharim is not just the mountains, but he's looking towards his parents. He looks towards his parents. Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, from where will I receive help? So then it seems like he's answering it himself. It's important to constantly, it switches back and forth between first person, second person, third person, so it's important to keep that in mind. So he's answering it himself now. Ezri Me'im Hashem. My help comes from Hashem, Osei Shemayim Va'aretz, the God that made the heavens and the earth.
Are you saying Yaakov's answering that? Or are you just saying that we're answering
that? Well, we're answering that. Yaakov also did answer that. When Yaakov first said it, Yaakov answers that. But when we're saying it also, when we say this, this is what we should have in mind. We're supposed to be answering ourselves. Ezri Me'im Hashem, that God is the one that helps us, Osei Shemayim Va'aretz, who made the Shemayim and the Aretz. So just to point out, there are various commentators on Tehillim. One of them is called the Radak. The Radak is an earlier commentator on Tehillim. So he says this entire paragraph has to do with us being in the exile. It's about us in the exile and about reaching out to God in a time where it's difficult to see Him. When we had the Holy Temple, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, it was easy to see God. It was very easy. There were daily miracles occurring in the Holy Temple, in the Beis HaMikdash. For a decent amount of time, there was also peace when we were in the Beis HaMikdash. For a large part of the time, it wasn't so peaceful. But at least we saw the hand of God through the miracles. But in time of exile, where it's difficult to see God, so that's when it was written specifically for us. When we're in exile and it's difficult to see God. And so we're supposed to respond, Ezri Me'im Hashem, I still understand that God is the one that's helping us. And then it says, Osei Shemayim Va'aretz, the one that created Shemayim Va'aretz. So why would you think the Shemayim Va'aretz, the heavens and the earth? So who cares? Why would whoever wrote this, whether it was Yaakov or David, why would they mention here the fact that God created the heavens and the earth?
Because that's an affirmation of His omnipotence and that He's all powerful and the only one.
Okay, very good. So Osei Shemayim Va'aretz, He's the only one. He created everything. He created everything. The only one that we can rely upon is God. In the end of the day, we have friends and we have family, but the one that we know that we can rely upon is Hashem. He's all powerful. He created Shemayim Va'aretz. Especially since in the previous pasuk, in the previous verse, we say that we're looking up to the mountains. So you have to say, well, who made the mountains? Osei Shemayim Va'aretz. Who made those mountains that you're looking towards? It was God that made it. So you should go to the original source. You should look to Hashem for help. There is an explanation which says that Osei Shemayim Va'aretz, not as literal, that Shemayim Va'aretz, the heavens and the earth, the heavens is more of a symbol, it really symbolizes the supernatural, the miracles that occur in the world, And the aretz is the natural. The land is the natural. The natural teva, the natural, the way the world runs. And so what this, what David is saying, Oseh Shemayim Va'aretz, is that God, the one that is in charge of the supernatural, the one that makes the miracles, so you have to realize that even the natural is also a miracle. Everything that occurs in this world is also a miracle. So when you ask God for help, God is helping everything. Not just, it's not that he just gets involved when there's a miracle in the world and when there's something supernatural. God is constantly and consistently involved in the world, even within the natural world. God is the one that's deciding what takes place in terms of the natural world as well. So that's Pasuk Beis. That's the second Pasuk. So now we have here, Al Yitain Lama Reglacha. He will not let your foot give way. Al Yonim Shomrecha. And your guard, Hashem, your guard, will not slumber. He will not go to sleep. Yonim is really, it's not just, the word Yonim is not just sleep. Like going to sleep for the night, it's really like a rest. God doesn't, he doesn't take a deep sleep. He also doesn't take a short nap. He's constantly, he's always awake and he's always there for you. So who's talking here? So originally, for the first two psukim, for the first two verses, so it's in first person. Right? He's talking himself. So what's happening here? Ayitin lama reglecha, who's talking? So
could actually be God.
It could be God, yeah.
It could be God.
So that's what...
Could it be an angel?
Could be.
No.
Well, it's possible. It could be an angel through God. We had that in last week. We had that in one of the midrashim that we had. God was talking to David. God was the one responding. That we're talking first, and then God responds. Others say that it's not just... You don't have to say it's God responding. It could be just between friends. That we're living... The one that explains that this has to do with the exile. We're living in the exile. And we need support from others. Others have to support us. So we're asking the question, where are we going to get help from? And we're telling ourselves that we're getting it from God. But still, we need other people to support us. We need that support system in order to truly have that belief. We can't exist on our own. We're not able to exist on our own. We need somebody else there to tell us, Al yitein lama reglecha. Don't give up. Hashem is there for you. And we need to have that support system. Okay, so Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. This is the fourth pasuk. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. God Hashem does not take a nap again, and he doesn't have a deep sleep. Shomer Yisrael, the guardian of Israel. The guardian of Israel. So now this pasuk is found in a couple of words of Chazal where they discuss this pasuk, and that's what we're going to be going through now. There's some interesting lines of Chazal here. If you look at the second source on the first page, this is Esther Rabbah from Megillas Esther by the Purim story, and so this is a medrash found by Esther. Vayomer Haman lemelech Achashverosh. Haman tells Achashverosh, Yeshno am echad. Yeshno here, what does it sound like? Yeshno sounds like sleeping. It sounds yashin. Yeshno and yashin. Yeshno does not mean sleeping in the context of the verse of the pasuk. Yeshno means yeshno am echad. Just means there is a nation. Yeshno in the literal sense of the verse means there is. There is a nation. There is one nation. And Haman tells Achashverosh, Osher shenemar bo Hashem echad. What is Am Echad? What is one nation? It's referring to the one God. Yashin lo me'amo. And Haman tells Achashverosh, he is sleeping from his nation. God is sleeping. Haman is telling Achashverosh, listen, the Jewish God is sleeping. So we could take advantage. We could they're in the exile right now, and we could destroy the Jewish people. Now is the time to destroy the Jewish people. Their God is sleeping. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God says, Tahaman ani ein lefanai shena. What are you talking about? I do not sleep. I don't sleep. Hadahu d'chsev, how could I prove this? Hine lo yanim v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. From this very verse that we have in our parak in Tehillim, God tells Haman that I don't sleep. Hine lo yanim v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. I'm constantly around. Vata Marta Yesh Lefanai Shena. But you said that I could go to sleep. You, Haman, said that I could go to sleep. Chayacha Shemitoch Shena Ani Misora Al Oso Ishu Ma'abdo Mina Olam. I'm telling you right now that it's through sleep that I'm going to awaken. I'm going to stir that person. That person is referring to Achashverosh. And I'm going to remove you from the world. Who? When did that happen? How did through the Purim story, what sleep are we referring to?
When he got the reading,
yeah. When Achashverosh was sleeping and he had trouble sleeping at night. So he asked somebody to read from him from his Sefer HaZichronos, from the book of events, then his remembrance of the past events. And he remembered that Mordechai saved his life. And then at that point in time, that's the whole change of the Purim story. At that point, when Achashverosh wanted to sleep and he had trouble sleeping, from that moment onward, so until that time, the Jews were in deep, deep trouble. Haman was gonna kill the entire Jewish people. And then at that moment, when Achashverosh had trouble falling asleep, so then everything turned. At that point in time was the change of events, and the Jewish people were eventually gonna defeat Haman. So I find this to be a powerful medrash, because Haman is telling Achashverosh that that Hashem is sleeping. Where did Haman get this from? Why would Haman say this? How does he know that Hashem is sleeping? They're in exile, yeah. So this is the time Haman sees that this is right after we got kicked out of Israel. And the Jewish people, it seems like either God is rejecting the Jewish people or God is ignoring the Jewish people. He's sleeping and ignoring them.
He sees Mordechai just sitting there, like sitting Shiva.
Over the exile, yeah. So God left them. It seems like God left them. And that's definitely, you know, that's not just Haman's perspective. That's the way a lot of people could think that we're in the exile and we've been rejected. God no longer cares about us. If God cared about us, he would bring us back to Israel in all of its glory with the Beis Hamikdash, with the Holy Temple. And God hasn't done that. So Haman has a reaction, which is seemingly a normal reaction to take.
When it's a bad time, always to say that God is not.
God is not listening. Where is God? Where is God here?
Where is God? Well, when was God? Or where is God?
Yeah.
We've been through many times like that in history.
Yeah. So the response is, Hashem responds and says, no, it's not true. I'm awake. You might not see my hand. You might not see me existing, but I'm there and I understand what's going on and I'm in control of the events that are taking place. Shomer Yisrael, I'm the guardian of the Jewish people. So I thought that Shomer Yisrael is an interesting language to use. If you look throughout this this parak, this chapter, the phrase, the word Shomer, the word guardian, is found many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's found in verse 3, 4, 5, 7 twice, and in verse 8. Like that's the focus here. Shomer Yisrael, the guardian of Israel. So the Tehillim is not saying that everything is going to go nice and smoothly. It's not saying that life is going to be easy. We hope for that, but that's not what the focus is on. The focus is not on the fact that life is going to be easy and that we should even see the hand of God. The focus is on the fact that we want Hashem to be with us, that Hashem should guard us. So life might not be easy, and there we don't understand why there are a lot of difficulties in life. But ultimately, knowing that Hashem is the one in control and that Hashem does know why it's difficult, so then that itself should be comforting for us, and that's what we're davening for. That at least we should know that Hashem has a plan. There is a plan. We don't know what that plan is. But Hashem is guarding us, and Hashem is protecting us. And knowing that Hashem is protecting us without answering the whys in life, but just understanding that there is a reason. We might not know it now, but there will be a point in time where we will find out about it. So that's what we're davening for. Shomer Yisrael. Haman says that what we see in the world is that God rejected the Jewish people. And our response is that no, Hashem is still with us. We don't know why, but Hashem is still our guardian. Hashem is still our Shomer. So that's what this medrash is telling us. So it's not just Haman. If you turn the page, this is also the Jewish people had a similar reaction. This is a Gemara 48a. Yeah, this is found in the Talmud. The Talmud says as follows: "Va'afu bitel esam orim," that we nullify, we remove the actions of the awakeners. So the Gemara asks, "My ma'orim, who are these awakeners?" So Amar Rachba, Rachba says, "B'chol yom v'yom," there were these people who tried to cause trouble every day. "Shayu omdim levim al duchen," when the Levim would stand in the Beis HaMikdash in the Holy Temple to Duchen, v'omrim, and these people would say, "Ora lama tishon Hashem." Awake. Lama tishon Hashem. Why is God sleeping? Because even though they had the Beis HaMikdash at the time, it wasn't a time of peace. And so there were people just standing in the Beis HaMikdash screaming, this is a pasuk in Tehillim. This is a verse in Tehillim, which says, "Lama tishon Hashem. Why, God, are you sleeping?" So this wasn't just Haman's reaction. This was the reaction of Jews. Jews were saying this to the Levim. So Amar Lahen, so they responded back to them. The Levim would respond back, "V'chi yeshena lefnei ha-makom, v'alo kvar ne'amar, hine lo yon v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael." He says, does God sleep? But we have another pasuk, we have another verse in Tehillim which says that God doesn't sleep. "El bizman Yisrael shruim b'tzar, v'ovde kochovim b'nachas, v'shalva l'kach ne'amar or lama tishan Hashem." The Levim explain, when does the pasuk say that Hashem is sleeping? It says that when the Jewish people are in pain and the non-Jews are living peacefully. So that's the time that the pasuk says it. Not because Hashem is actually sleeping, but it's just because it looks like God is sleeping. When it looks like, it just looks like God is sleeping. But you have to understand that God is not sleeping. God doesn't sleep. What we perceive is not reality. Our perception is that God is sleeping, but that's not true. The reality is that God is with us.
Why are we being compared to non-Jews? Why do you say?
Well, that's because in its context, it's the non-Jewish people who are starting up wars with the Jews when we had the Beis Hamikdash.
Okay.
So I think in its context, it's saying that we're in pain, and the non-Jews who are fighting with us are the ones that are in victory, and they're living peacefully.
We are in pain. What are you?
I'm sorry.
We are in pain. What are you?
That's
where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Yeah.
Isn't it said somewhere that when the non-Jews are on the up, the Jews are down, and the reverse is also true?
It's definitely possible. I don't remember where it says that, but
I don't remember either.
It's definitely possible. Okay. Yeah. The last thing, I didn't quote this. The last thing is that, why does it say Shomer Yisrael? Guardian of the Jewish people. Is Hashem the guardian of only the Jewish people?
No.
So Hashem cares about the entire world, right? It's not just about the Jewish people. So there's a medrash, I didn't quote this medrash, so there's a medrash which also asks this question. They say, what do you mean Shomer Yisrael, that God is the guardian of the Jews? They quote another verse which says that Hashem is the guardian of everybody, of all of humanity. We're special, yeah. So the Medrash answers and responds by saying that it's because of us. It's true. God does watch over everybody, but it's because of us that God then watches over the rest of the world. That God watches over us, and He cares about us, and it's because of us that God then watches over the rest of the world. We are the ones that were charged with this mission to for ourselves and for the rest of the world to show what it's like to be a spiritual person, what it's like to be a person who's care and kind and giving and one that serves God. And we're charged with that mission. So therefore, God is here to guard us. And if it wasn't for us, so then there wouldn't be a people who's trying to give over a certain message, and then we wouldn't have wouldn't be able to share that with the rest of the world. So God only really protects the rest of the world if we're around. God protects us. And because of that, so then God also has to protect the rest of the world.
But that confuses me, because we are also told that every human being was created in the image of God. So if every person was created in the image of God, wouldn't it be natural that God is protecting everybody because He created them, and not necessarily because of the role of the Jewish people?
No, so it's true. I think God would protect everybody. But I think the idea is that if we weren't around, if God wasn't protecting us, first and foremost, so then people wouldn't be able to see the world wouldn't be able to see a people that is representing God, and so then they were created with the Tzelem Elokim, but they wouldn't know what to do in the world. They wouldn't know if it wasn't for the Jewish people. The first Rashi in the Torah says that God created the world for the Jewish people. That's why He created the world for the Jewish people. So then what does that mean? God, everyone's created in the image of God. So it's true, but that's because we are needed in the world to provide the world with for ourselves. First of all, we're needed for ourselves, but also to provide the world with an understanding of what they're supposed to be doing in the world, what the purpose of the world is about. And if we're not protected, so then if the world doesn't know what to do, so then there'll be no purpose in the world. If the world was just living by routine, without a certain mission in life, so then even though they do it, they are creating the image of God, but they wouldn't know what to do, so then there wouldn't be a purpose for the world. Does that answer your question?
I'm making connections. So, you know, it sort of plays into an idea that I have, which may or may not be correct according to Judaism, that we have a special role, but also, and maybe because of us, but I don't know, but I've always believed there are many paths to God. So the Christians have a path to God, but it's not ours. Maybe the Muslims who are not violent have a path to God. Everybody has a path to God that's different, and in the end, they're all going to get to the same God.
So Judaism does believe that everyone has a path to God, that even non-Jews have a path to God. We believe that there's a specific way for them to worship God, that they have their own unique way of worshiping God. I don't know if it's the Christian or Muslim way, but
doesn't matter who. Yeah.
But but Judaism does believe that each person in the world should have a relationship with God.
So are you saying that it's actually the Jews who originally set the systems of beliefs that everybody else kind of
they should follow? Not that they should become Jewish.
No.
But it's through us that they should see what the ideals are. Originally, it was supposed to be for the entire world. And then, because of what happened, so it was given to Avram and then Avram's descendants. That's a bigger discussion. But originally, it was supposed to be for the entire world. There were some hands.
He created us as a priestly nation.
Yeah.
Which is an intent to model for the rest of the world.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay. There were some other hands raised. They were put down. Okay.
I was actually just going to say that it's not like... I know that some people have a conception that this is like kind of imbalance between Jews and non-Jews, and the Jews are better and like that kind of thing. But I don't... From my understanding, it's not like that. From my understanding, it's that like God created His world, and His world, like a giraffe, is not more important than, let's say, a bird, you know? But everyone has a different mission. Like, that's how I look at it with Jews and non-Jews. Jews have one way of what they need to do, and non-Jews have something else that they are or are not doing. I don't know. But that's how I see it between Jews and non-Jews.
We definitely are supposed to live this world and with a mission, and everybody is supposed to live this world with a mission and develop a certain relationship with God. The fact that we were chosen to represent the world in terms of being on a higher level, just like within Judaism, you have Kohanim, you have priests who are also, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Holy Temple, they were different. Everyone was equal within Jews, but there were certain people who were supposed to be on a higher level, that they were supposed to have a higher level of service to God. They were supposed to be in the Holy Temple, and be the Kohanim, the priests were supposed to be the rabbis, the spiritual leaders. So everyone has different roles, but everyone is supposed to have their specific relationship with God and their specific mission in life. And that's true. And we are called a nation of Kohanim, a priestly nation. And so we are supposed to represent the rest of the world, we're charged with being on a higher level. But you're right, everyone's supposed to have their unique relationship with God and their unique purpose in life. Okay, so let's go on to Pasuk K. Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem Tzilcha, Yad Yiminecha. God is your guardian. Sorry, going back to the first page. God is your guardian. God is your shade, or your shadow, really. And we pointed this out last week, that he's your shadow, that wherever you go, God goes with you. Al Yad Yiminecha, on your right hand. I hope we'll have time at the end. I'll go back to this pasuk in a few minutes. Yomam Hashem Ashloye Kekka V'Yareach Balayla. That Hashem is going to protect you, that the forces of the sun won't hurt you, and also the moon by night, which just means the natural forces won't impact you. You won't be you'll be protected. Hashem Yishmecha Mikol Ra Yishmor Es Nafshecha. God will protect you from evil, and He'll also protect guard your soul, your life. So there are two phrases here of Mikol Ra, from all evil, and from your life. So that can mean He'll protect you spiritually and also protect you physically. That physically God will protect you, and also spiritually God will be with you spiritually.
Why at your right hand?
We'll get to that in a minute. It's a good question. The basic explanation of Yimincha is that's your strong hand. That's your strong hand. So God will be with you on your strong hand, and that's the simple explanation. We'll see. There's a Gemara which I want to close with, which says a different explanation. Hashem Yishmor Tzeischa V'Echa Me'ata V'Adolam. God protects you when you leave and when you come, from now and forever. Basically, whether you're at home, whether you're inside, whether you're outside, on the road, and meaning anywhere you are, God is with you. Any physical place you are, God is with you. Me'ata V'Adolam, from now and forever. God is always going to be with you physically, wherever you are, and also in time. God will be with you forever. And so that's the end of Tehillim. I wanted to close with there's a Gemara here on the last page, turning the page. This is the last source on the last page, which says Al Yad Yiminecha, your right hand. What is it referring to? It's referring to what has to go on the right. What is the right? What mitzvah do we have on the right?
Tefillin
is not necessarily on the right. It's in this house. The mezuzah goes on your right side. Right now it's on our left, but that's because it's when you enter, it's on the right side. So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bo Ure'ei, Shelo K'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basar V'Dam. God is not like any other king. Midas Basar V'Dam Melech Yoshev Mibifnim V'Am Mishamar Noso Mibachutz. For a regular king, so the king sits inside his royal palace, and the nation protects the king. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is not like that. Avadav Yoshvin Mibifnim, us, we, his servants, sit inside, V'hu Mishamron Mibachot, and God protects us outside. Shenemar Hashem Shomrecha Hashem Tzilcha Yad Yiminecha. God protects us, he's our shadow, and he protects us from the right hand. So in the context, the right hand is referring to, of the Gemara, I didn't quote the entire Gemara, it's talking about the mezuzah. That we are inside the house, and we put up the mezuzah, and God protects us outside. God protects us outside. As opposed to any other king, the king, you know, sits in luxury and makes sure that everybody else protects him, and he has a whole army just to protect him. We are the ones that sit inside, and God protects us outside. God is not like any other king. So just 2 points on this Gemara, and then we'll close. I think it's important that this is saying that God is going to protect us on the outside, but we still have to put up the mezuzahs. We have to make sure to put up those mezuzahs. God is going to protect us, but we have to put up those mezuzahs first, and then God will protect us. We have to live a life on the inside where we have those mezuzahs. What do those mezuzahs represent?
Action, maybe.
It's action, but it's also a constant reminder of a belief in God, that we walk into our homes and we have the mezuzahs on the inside. I think that the idea of having mezuzah in your house, you're supposed to have it in the inside in your house, is because that's where we're true to ourselves. We're really true to ourselves in privacy, when nobody else is around. So that's when we act the way who we are, and it's there where we're supposed to have the mezuzahs. The mezuzahs as a reminder to remind you who you're really supposed to be. So when we have those mezuzahs up, when we have that reminder of who we're supposed to be, so then God is on the outside protecting us. God is there protecting us. I think it even fits very nicely in the Gemara itself. The Gemara says, in the comparison between the king and Hashem. So there's even a different word that's used to represent the king's people. If you look at it closely, who are, for a regular king, it says the nation, and for Hashem, it says his servants. It doesn't say the nation. It's a different word that's used. Because for the king, for a regular king, he has his nation that's protecting him. But God is not just protecting a people. God is protecting his servants. And so we have to act as his servants for God to protect us.
It seems like it's a different relationship, right? Like, you know, God with his servants and the king with his nation. Like, it's just, it's more symbiotic. It's more together, like God and his servants.
It is more, yeah, for sure. It is more together. We have to create that relationship. If we create that relationship with Hashem, so then Hashem will be standing outside the house protecting us.
I think that if you would believe Hashem is in your heart, and the mezuzah is a symbol that Hashem is in your heart. You carry it, you believe, whether you believe or don't, and it takes care of you. But I don't think that just because the mezuzah...
No, it's not just the mezuzah. It's what the mezuzah represents. Yeah,
it's just a symbol.
For sure, for sure.
But I think that God is with you. If you believe God is in your heart, if you believe, then...
Then God will be with you. Yeah, that's the message. That's the message of the mezuzah. To have that in your heart. We can't put the mezuzah in our heart, so we have it on the door. But the purpose of it is for it to be in your heart.
Another little light bulb went off in my head when we're talking about the word servants, because normally when we think of the word servant, we think of a feudal kind of relationship between people, that servants are next to nothing. And here, servants is actually...
It's a positive term. It's a definitely I think servants I think should think about like devotion, like the way a servant, even though generally and the way we view servants is in a negative way. I don't think the Torah views servants in a negative way.
No, it's a whole separate
discussion. But servants, even nowadays, even in the negative usage of it, a servant is somebody who's constantly there for his master.
Yes.
He's constantly there. So that's what it's supposed to be.
Here it's, yes, we are here for our master, but also he is here for us.
He's here for us, yeah. So in that sense, in the fact that we have devotion to God, so that's what it's referring to.
Yeah. Right.
But not in the negative sense.
What's servant in Hebrew? Is servant the real translation?
Yeah.
Does it mean something else?
No, it's avadav.
Okay.
Another translation would be slave, but I prefer to use the word servant.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, there's a difference between a slave and a servant.
There is, but there's a difference. Evan means both. The word Evan means both, slave and servant. It's a bigger discussion, but when the Torah does have a whole, there is a concept of having a slave, a Jewish slave. That's a whole separate discussion, because if you look at how the rabbis understand this, a Jewish slave, they're supposed to be treated with more respect than your own family. So it's like a totally different. You think of slave as like the slaves, yeah.
They have everything.
Yeah, they have to get everything beforehand. So like the concept of a slave is more of like that servant who has devotion to his master, but not in a negative sense. So I think even a slave, even the word, I didn't want to use the word slave because people automatically think slave as slavery. So I prefer the word servant.
I have a question of time, please. When you say that the connection, when you draw the connection between the mezuzah and the prayer itself, the being on the outside, God being on the outside,
and we're on the inside.
When did the mezuzah come about? When was that sort of established?
The mezuzah is in the Torah. The mezuzah is in the Torah. So we got that at Har Sinai. That's
and you shall put it on your doorpost.
Yeah, that's from the very beginning of when we became the Jewish people.
It's in the Shema. Right. Yeah.
We say it in the Shema.
Where? That's, and you should put something about you should put it for a sign upon your doorpost.
Yeah.
In the Shema.
Yeah, but isn't it representative from
Al Mezuzos Beisacha? It says Al Mezuzos Beisacha, that you should put it on the mezuzah in your house.
Does it stem from the time when we had to put the blood on the door,
okay,
so that God would pass?
It is. There is a connection between the two. There definitely is a connection between the two.